Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile monkeys play. Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile, unpredictable Jacob.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Jacob. This is another around the world episode. And Jacob, I think it's only right if you tell our listeners where we're going this time.
Sure. Today we're going to Poland and we are having Justyna with us, Justyna Pindel. Justyna is a product maker, agile believer, conference organizer, and a podcaster.
Wow.
I think what is most exciting is that she is Polish and we can all agree that all Polish people are awesome by default.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome.
All of you can one day become Polish, you know, there is hope for all of you. Indeed. Thank you. I'm very happy actually to be here. I already seen your podcast even before, I think a few months, because the monkeys that you have in the background, in the picture, really drove my attention. And I love the podcasts that are actually not so formal. It's not like, good morning, everyone. Today we are going to talk about agile. Agile is the most important. No, I liked such an informal sense. So I'm sure that I will enjoy myself. And I hope that your listeners will also be happy to listen to our episode.
Well, I'm sure they will be. If anyone has been with us this far, this will probably, I think every episode gets a little better than the last. And our last one was pretty good. So the expectations are high. I hope you're okay under pressure. Yes, yeah.
Hashtag no pressure.
As Jacob said, you've been a coach, you're a product owner now, trainer, conference organizer. You have a book that you've published as well about Kanban, is that right?
Yes, that's right. So I published a book last year in June when I thought that COVID will take only 2 months. And I thought, like, what can I do in 2 months? Oh, let's write a book. Because, you know, I always wanted to write a book and I wanted to be the writer. So it's not like the bestseller on Amazon, but every month I see people buying a book on LinkedIn and Amazon. And that's amazing. And now I can put, you know, on my LinkedIn profile that I'm a writer, which is,
excellent.
You know,
you're great. Completely.
For being awesomeness, but also the feeling that you have something to contribute, because actually the book is about connecting training from the back of the room with Kanban. So actually helping teams to design their Kanban system, not going into organization as this Kanban consultant and trainer that will tell you what is the perfect whip that you have to put it there. So yeah, that was my adventure. I'm very happy I've done it. I'm sure that my next wonderful 100 books will be at Amazon bestseller. Not there yet. Everyone can help that. I will probably give some promo codes for your listeners as well if they want to learn.
That's awesome. Yeah. Promo codes. Yes, please.
Yeah, there's a lot of pictures in the book. The whole book is like a graphic.
Oh, that's gonna be my favorite book ever.
That's good. Yeah. I'm no good with words. Give me pictures any days. You're also a podcaster as well, are you not?
Yes. And actually, in our preparation, when we were talking about podcasting, the reason that you mentioned why you do the podcast to hang out together was actually the reason that we also had with Paul. So we both been working together and there was always, like, you know, so much work stuff to do, to talk about. And we missed somehow, you know, the moment when you really can talk about the cool stuff that normally you don't. And also I was constantly complaining that I don't read enough books. So we thought, if we do the podcast about agile books, that will by default mean that every single month you have to read the book very carefully, because not only you do the review, but then you do the interview with the author. Yeah. So that was the idea behind. But before we had the idea for Agile Book Club, we thought about the podcast Horrible People.
Oh, it's about me. Oh my God.
That is your middle name, right? Jacob, horrible person.
Polish people. Yeah. We were thinking about that because, you know, we noticed that in so many cases you try to do something good, yes? But then somehow it gets, you know, so wrong and you cannot, like, help everyone. So we have to pick and make sometimes, you know, not so ethical choices. I'm not saying that you do all the time not ethical choices, but sometimes it's just so hard, you know, to not joke about something or whatever. So we were like, you know, on these boundaries and thinking, yeah, we think more people are like that. So maybe let's tell them it's okay to be a little horrible. Because we thought, okay, let's first do the podcast about books so people will go them, you know, for the value. And then if we see all of our, you know, jokes that get into there that are kind of in the horrible people sense, like Paul saying, yeah, I wish my cats were dead because they cost so much. And, you know, all of the cats owners hate us, but we just, you know, experiment how far can we go. Yeah.
So I think you're the first person we've had on the show that talked about killing cats. So congratulations. I think you get a badge for that.
Yeah. But actually, you know, about cats, what is funny, like since 2 years on the 1st April, as a full joke, we published that we are having the, 2 years ago, we published that we are going to write the Agile Cats book, yes? And there are like hundreds of people, you know, sending us congrats, amazing idea, wow. And you know, all of those things. Yeah. This year, we published that like intro to the Agile Cats, you know, podcast that we are going to. And again, so I really think that we are going to do the next thing.
That'll be book number two for you.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be about cats, yeah.
So, I'm gonna bring us back to around the world in Poland really quick. For the people who might be looking at a map right at this very moment, how do they find Poland on a map?
Okay, so you look in Europe, you look for the Baltic Sea, and all of Polish people think that Baltic Sea is their sea.
Jakub's nodding. He's like, yes, that is our sea. Yeah.
that's our sea. And what is also like very beautiful about Poland and what I love, it's like we have this sea, our sea, Baltic Sea. So all of the Scandinavian countries, bye-bye, it's Baltic, it's ours. And then also we have Tatra Mountains. And again, they are our Tatra Mountains, not Slovakian Tatra Mountains. They are Polish
again,
Tatra Mountains.
Nods. Yes. So. Yes. Yes.
And I think like I think last year there was something very funny that the Polish like special officers that stand on the borders. I think it was the border with Czech Republic that they moved the border a little bit, and there was like a huge, you know, huge fuss. I think it was in the moment of the pandemic when there was like the control on the borders, and they just moved the borders. So I think like one of the things that I don't want to say like defines Polish people, but maybe a little bit does.
But it sounds like Polish people, yes.
Yeah, it's like our sea, it's our mountain, and this border can be like slightly farther. But on the other hand, you cannot blame Poland. There was the time when there was like, you know, the territorium of Poland was, you know, huge. Bigger, so there are still people that feel like it's ours, not those Germans or Russians or, you know, things like that. So
does that mean that Poland's like, it's our agile, it's ours, it's our agile?
Yeah, we are very flexible about boundaries, you know.
when do you think agile as a concept in delivery started becoming or is it even mainstream now? Like, is it kind of like, yeah, that's just how you do it. That's how you deliver software.
Mm. So you know, about Agile being in Poland, like I'm very proud of one thing, because actually the first Agile conference, there were two Agile conferences like 11 years ago. And one of them was actually in Poland, in Kraków. And that was the ACE conference that I was doing for a few years with my co-host, Paul. And he was one of the like the first like he was the first Kanban trainer in Poland. He was the first like a true agilist, or, you know, maybe not like the first, but, you know, in this hype of the first people. But what I've seen in the last 4 years while doing the conference, it's that the number of people, it's really, really growing, and the mindset, it's really getting there. So right now, for example, a year ago, okay, there was no ACE conference because of the COVID, but already 2 years ago, we grew the conference to 3 days. And we also were choosing speakers like, you know, who are not going to tell you what is agile, you know, what is the role of a scrum master, what is the role of product owner, not like these, you know, very entering points, but we're trying to shift it in a little bit, you know, more experience, which means in most of the cases, why it's not working. Yeah? So yeah. I think like we are, you know, after this hype, I call Poland Scrumland a little bit, because there is like a lot, like in my opinion, there was a lot of Scrum trainings. There was a lot of Scrum people who believed like only Scrum, or who said, okay, it's Scrum, we are not going to touch Kanban. So 2 years ago, when we started doing Kanban training in Poland, people are like, I'm not gonna touch it. Yeah, it's Kanban, it's not Scrum. Yeah, we do Scrum here. Yeah,
so Poland owns Scrum, then, is what you're trying to tell me.
Like, we own Scrum.
You got the Baltic Sea, you got the mountains, and you got Scrum.
Exactly. So I think that the mindset is like really, really developing. I see like more of people who understand that it's not about the framework that we are using, that it's about the principles and about values. So I see it coming, but it still will take some time. It's still treated like the prescription to have a fast delivery and to have like a successful, or for example, to say now those are our company values because we are agile, or you know, there's like a lot of you know, funny thing that sometimes that you can come across and like misunderstanding. But I think that we already passed the point to learn what are the things on the market, what is Scrum or is Kanban, what is Lean. And now we are in this like implementation phase and discovering what is not working. So I think the third phase would be to do it righter.
And I think it's pretty similar in New Zealand. I don't know if you agree, Joe, but you know, we are very much Scrum oriented, and if you start with talking about
Scrummer, Spotify oriented.
Yeah, exactly. But within
Spotify.
Why a bank wants to be a music distribution company? I don't know.
Exactly. But... and one thing that's also very common in New Zealand is working with consulting companies. Like it's almost like a pandemic on its own, that every company needs to have a consulting company to help them. Yet embrace agility. How does it look in Poland? Do you have similar pandemic?
You know, I from what I've seen, I cannot say like for the whole market, but from what I've seen, we don't have it there yet, because companies don't want to so much heavily invested in it. So they want to have a Scrum Master that will be the product owner that will also do like, you know, agile coaching and everything. So they just hire like a one person for like a multiply roles, and they say that they cannot afford of that, because it's pretty expensive. So from what I've seen when we were doing, you know, consulting, it was mostly in the companies that came to us for the training, and then we already had like the personal relationship with them, and then it was still taking, you know, a lot of time and convincing that you need agile consultant, or you know, that you need a coach external, because it is this conception, you know, we already invested in it. There are people who have these kind of titles. We don't take people from outside. But on the other hand, you know, I don't blame them. I think that this is a pandemic in this sense. So when I was doing consulting, I was saying, I want to be called like, you know, like a consultant. I go there and I am with the team. I want to feel like the part of the team. I'm there in 100%. I'm not going to do any other, you know, company, you know, just after 1 p.m. I work for them. No, I'm with the problems. I'm with the people there. I'm going to sit in the corner and read the book if I want in this company, you know, do the things like I would normally do in my work. So I see that... that there is no this pandemic yet, I think, for those reasons. But it means that there are some other misconceptions and anti-patterns, like, you know, really trying to push elephant into Fiat 125. I think, that you know what I'm saying. It's like a very, very small car that was like at some point in Poland, you know, it was like filled with them. So I think that's the thing. But maybe just one comment. But what I've seen, for example, while doing the conference, there's a lot of big companies, yeah, like, for example, banks, who just send a bunch of people of the conference with hope, now you will be agile. Yeah, you spend the 3 days at the expensive conference, because it's not cheap conference.
Is that not the reason that you have the conference? That's why you have the conference, isn't it? Is it? Yeah, it's like it's a yeah. Mecca or fountain of agile. You just bathe in it and then you come out.
Yeah. It's somehow like that. Yes, indeed. But on the other hand, you know, this misconception, it's kind of, you know, scary. So we always try to kind of give a lot of experience while the conference, you know, really make it that people are doing the things at the conference. So it's not only, you know, listening to this fountain of agile ideas and great success stories, but that they have the experience. But anyway, it's not going to shift the mindset in 3 days.
Does that mean that if I go to a rock concert for 3 days, like a big, like Lollapalooza sort of thing, I'll come back a professional musician?
No. And you know what, like a few years at the conference, we actually had the guy from Spotify. It's a Polish guy who works in Spotify, and he did a wonderful talk that was called No Learning. And it's my favorite ACE talk, that he says there's no learning at the conference. It's nothing going, you know, to change your life. And that was like amazing. And that's what we wanted people to understand when they go on the conference, that they are not going to become the rock star by sitting there for 3 days. They are not going to become agile by throwing money at the consultant who comes there and lives there. And what always make me laugh about, and I didn't feel like 100% comfortable in the role of being consultant, because, you know, you leave the organization and you say, you know, on average, there's like 2 years when you will become agile, because it's a process. Yeah. And you are way gone after it. So yeah, that's
And Justyna, would you agree that Polish history helped us or made us be adaptive, like we as Polish people, right? We had to be adaptive because we had all of these other countries invading us now and, you know, again and again and again. And I'm thinking that because we had to be very, we had to have so many good ideas to adapt, but also to, you know, fight the communist government and all of the other stuff, that I think that our culture in Poland is, it's very suitable for agile. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I always kept saying that, you know, being Polish really helped me to make sure that I can be okay at any circumstances. I just know that I will be okay. Yes. And you know, I remember maybe differently right now when I work in Belgium. I see this context, you know, I see the comparison. Like sometimes I do something and people are like, wow, that's great. How did you come up with this? Yeah. And I'm like, what? It's logical. Yeah. You can't do A, you do B. Yes. You don't wait until the A will get, you know, unblocked. You adapt for the situation. Or I remember when I had a student job in Sweden, and I was working with horses and children. And then there was a note that would said that the water won't be available from 12 till 3 p.m. And the owner of the stud told me, yeah, you can't come to work because the water won't be available. And I said, yeah, but from 12, I can just collect the water, put the water away, and then I have a water. Yeah, there's no. It was like, wow, amazing idea. How did you come up with it? Yes. So I see like a lot of examples and a lot of comparison when you work with different countries, like how being adaptive, as you said, by culture, by history, but by, for example, you know, being raised in Poland, like my father, how he taught me how to ride a bike. He took me on the top of the mountain and he said, ride. I land up like in the bushes. Yes, I was like, you know, covered. But that's how I discovered brakes. Yeah, he didn't tell me about brakes. Yes,
that's so how I discovered brakes.
Yes, or you know what always, you know, it makes me laugh, because my mom, she always says like, you know, I don't know if I'm a good mother because I never like told you what to do. And I said, Mom, you are amazing mother. You are like, you know, so agile. You help us to self-organize. Yeah, because my mom is all the time impressed how the three of us, we really turned out, you know, in her opinion, like great, amazing. Yeah, like, you know, raised in village, not a lot of resources. And then you do these things. Yeah, then your brother is designing part for, you know, cars and your sister doing this. Yes, and she's like, wow, I did nothing. Yeah, and I said, mom, you led us to self-organize. You didn't tell us what to do. Yes, and you know, all of those things. So I think, like, sometimes, you know, maybe because Polish parents, they you know, there's a lot of like a very basic needs that they have to provide. They didn't take care of, you know, you have to be signed up for these amazing classes. Yeah, you have to learn piano because that's great for your brain. You have to do this and that. There was like, you know, this I would say a little rougher way of, you know, learning, you know, children outside.
Here, house, don't outside. Kill yourself down the mountain. I hope you discover the bricks.
Exactly, you know? So I, you know, like, one of the quality that I really like appreciate in myself, it's like, I know that I can work hard, and I know that I can adapt, and that's make me peace and make peace and quiet in myself, that I know that I will be fine in any circumstances and work in life. So I think that if I would be raised in a different country when I have 20 lessons on how to ride a bike and everything, it would just extend the learning. So I'm happy that I'm there, and I'm happy that I was born and raised in Poland.
Joan, I hope that now you can understand me better.
This is all making a lot of sense, you know. So up until this point, looking back, you were a complete stranger to me, Jakub. Now I get you. I see your soul.
So that was like the second reason why Jakub, you wanted to invite a person from Poland. Yeah.
Yes. So that Joe can finally understand me.
I get you. I see you. I see you. You're clearly very passionate about Poland. Do you think that people from other parts of the world that practice Agile should work in Poland? Should want to work in Poland?
Yeah, I think it's very challenging, and I think it's a great environment still to learn a lot of things and still to see how those two worlds are collapsing. Like, on the one hand, you know, this agile world when you want people to self-organize, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, the hierarchy, yeah, because that was something that it's still like a very much believed in, you know, especially with the managers that are kind of older and they worked so hard to be in the position of power, and now you come into my organization and you tell me that I have to ask team or that the team makes decision. Who are you to tell me those kind of things? So there is still this mindset, and I think that that's amazing, because that's such a great opportunity to learn for you. For example, in one of my engagements, my goal was to get fired for a good reason, you know? I knew really, that was my goal. Yeah.
Did you accomplish your goal?
Kind of, I did. But I said that I let myself go with like, boom. But the thing was that I was already in this state in my life that I knew that I will be fine. I wouldn't do that like 8 years ago, for example. Yeah, I knew I would be like scared to behave how I behaved. So right. I would say like, I was again like checking how far can I go, but not in the how far can I go, you know, to hurt someone, but how far can I go to do the things that I really, you know, believe in. Yeah,
to it's say actually to the people, opposite, to, right? How far can I go to help someone?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. When you are not afraid, yeah? When you are not afraid about losing your job, when you are not afraid about losing your status or whatever, when you just, you know, don't care about some, you know, those organizational things when they tell you you shouldn't say because you are not at this level, or, you know, we are not going to invite you for that meeting because it's like a meeting on the top. Yeah, so you invite yourself into the event, and you tell what
what's
you
up,
think,
executives.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, indeed. But I had, you know, I had so much fun in that, you know. I knew that I am in the place, and if I will just blend into that, nothing will change there. And I knew that my goal is to get fired for a good reason. and I go for that. Yes. So if you are in the position that you want to get fired for a good reason and you have the financial stability to do that and you want to train yourself in being in sometimes, you know, very tough environment because of this older mindset, older management mindset, and seeing the agile that comes into organization, you definitely have to go to Poland.
I think that should be the third book you write, is get how to get fired for a good reason. I think that would be amazing. I would read it. I would buy that. I mean, you can only write that after you write Agile Cats, by the way. So Agile Cats has to be your second book. You've teased us for too long.
But yeah, definitely. I think, like, you know, 100 ways on how to get fired for a good reason. Yeah,
absolutely. And you have, it sounds like you have plenty of stories on how that affected you and, you know, why that's so rewarding.
Yeah. Thank you.
So cool.
Always so useful to talk with amazing people.
Oh, I'm blushing now. So the last question that we have, doesn't have to be the end of the conversation, but the last question we have is, if we're in a different part of the world and we are an agilist of some sort, that means we could be a coach, a scrum master, a product owner, somebody who just says agile a lot, doesn't really matter. What's one thing, well, actually, like, what's a couple things that we absolutely need to know about working in Poland before we go?
So I would say that people are not so comfortable with being uncomfortable in silence. I think that maybe that's also something that comes from the history that we don't have time for silence. Yeah, you do the thing. Yeah, why you pause? Yeah, you make a decision, you go for it, and you go farther. So I would say, like, that the first thing that I had a huge problem with that, and I worked on that, and I saw it also with the teams as well, that, you know, when there's a silence, there's, like, you know, it's so uncomfortable for people. So I would say, like, this thing. Then the second one is, like, people don't want to, they're not comfortable maybe about talking about feelings or, you know, opening about the sensitivity and the hard word. Now I wish you added me for the intelligence. So they don't want to see sensitive. They still think, like, you know, the place of the work is the place that you have to, you know, really stay straight, keep your position and, you know, work. Yes, so they just kind of sometimes cut off the aspect of your personality a little bit. And I think that's wasteful, because it can bring so much value into the organization. And especially if you are a leader, yeah, the leader cannot have a bad day. Yeah, so those kind of things that we are maybe less human at work, because this is work and you have to be in this position. So that's the second thing. And then the third one is that, what would I say if someone as agile coach would go to work to Poland? We want to see results. Like, you know, there's so many, let's say agile facilitation. Yeah, sometimes we are in the meeting and then you see, like, it's going somewhere, but at the end of the meeting, maybe the agenda shifted because it was like the merging agenda and it's important that you talked about it. But at the end of the meeting, you see that you didn't fulfill, like, this and this and that. Yes. And then we feel like, you know, it was a waste. We want to have the result, that we are really, like, the goal oriented and we want to get it faster because we don't have a time for that. We want to get it right now because there's other things important to do.
I find that really interesting. So first, thank you for sharing that with you. But so it's kind of like there's a few inverses, which, you know, in the world of, like, character development makes perfect sense. I don't know in the real world, but you have, on one hand, you guys are extremely adaptable. But that characteristic almost creates this uncomfortableness with silence, because your first reaction is anything changes, adapt. And so you want to fill in that silent space. You don't want to, like, be there like, oh, something's changing, let's just see how this plays out. You're like, no, adapt.
What happened? Yeah, what is happening right now? Let's pause. No.
And then there's a bit of irony with, you know, these agile facilitation things, where if you have an agenda and you adapt, at the end of it, you have adaption regret.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things is, like, I think it's a little bit Polish that we do complain a lot. So
Yes.
It's kind of our thing. So, you know, even if you adapt it and you know it's good, it's still like, but we didn't do this and that. Yeah, you didn't do this and that.
There's always something.
There's always something. And I really see it like with my friends, I see it with my family, I see it like I saw it at work, you know, so many times. Like, oh, it was a great training. We had a lot of fun, but did we learn something? What did we learn? We didn't learn this and that. Yeah?
It sounds so like everyone in Poland is an agile coach.
But one thing that I think we learned this even more when we came to New Zealand and we have
fun. When he says he's not talking about me and him. I didn't leave.
No,
his wife Danka, who made that monkey that attracted you to our podcast, by the way.
That's true. So when Danka and I moved to New Zealand, you know how it is when often you gravitate to other people from your nationality, just, you know, so that you start making friends and so on. And we realized how not all of Polish people, but many of them, they were complaining so much. And we realized, this is so unhealthy. And we basically didn't want to hang out with them because we didn't want to complain. We almost escaped Poland in a way to stop complaining because we wanted to see the world in the pink glasses.
Mm-hmm. So if I were to watch like a Polish movie about Polish expats in other countries coming together in other countries, would it be just a bunch of people complaining so they feel like they're back home?
Yes, could be. or they will be like, you know, the second episode about those who ran away from Polish people abroad.
Yeah,
you
know?
Like I left Poland for a reason. Yeah, I don't want to hang out with you. Yeah, but you know, like I see it in myself. So for example, what I do at work right now, I have like a magic word with my team, like Sonsira. And it's like a Spanish word that they have to tell me when they feel that I complain, you know, that I want to be aware of that. Yeah, because I see it with myself, like I started paying attention to that and I hate it. I think it's unhealthy, as you said, it's unhealthy for you and for the environment. And I'm like very open about that with my teams. And I said, please use that word. So it will be like boom, yes, that I know that I do this thing and I have to stop. Yeah.
And when you are talking about you know, making sure that you are professional at work and not showing your sensitive side, I was thinking, isn't that what vodka is for?
Yeah, so you know, so you meet your colleagues after work for vodka, and then you know for which movies they are crying, or you know, whatever, that they have pets or that they have children or whatever. I remember, you know, one of the funny things that I did. It was already in the pandemic, and I don't like when people are all the time like sitting. So sometimes we start a meeting and I do something crazy and I said like, bring one object from your house that no one would know that you have, no one would see. And the guy brought a child. And the team worked with him for more than, you know, 2 years. They didn't know he had a child. It was, you know, mind-blowing, yeah, because he didn't want to say that he had a child because, you know, maybe someone would think that he's not as productive because he has a child. So when he works at home, he's working or, you know, taking care of a child, yeah? You know, so things like that, he didn't want to be seen as a guy with child.
What an enormous cognitive load. Do you think, like, walking down the streets in town, he'd, like, hide his child behind things if he saw people from work?
Yeah, could be.
You know? I think he could have a show just about him, is how to hide your child from your coworkers.
Yeah, that's for the podcast Horrible People. Yeah. Like, he didn't have a bad intention. It was coming from the girl's place, but you still hide your child for 2 years. Yes.
So, I'm sorry, my son. I am very proud of you, but not so much that I'm willing to lose my job. Oh no, I love it.
that's really crazy one.
So mm-hmm. Oh, I was just gonna say, so like those are all really good things to know about Poland going in. What's a So for me, those all seem like really attractive reasons to go, but some people might see those as detractors in some way. If we were to go on a more conventional road for saying, hey, let's say, what's another country that you've worked with a lot of agilists from?
Okay, so I work with people from Germany, a lot from Germany.
So let's say you're going to go to a German person in Austria or something like that, and you're like, hey, you should work in Poland because...
because your car is already there. Sorry, but you know, that's a horrible joke. That's a horrible joke. But I remember like a few years ago, there was a lot of, you know, memes and stuff that, you know, for German people on the border that go to Poland, your car is already there. That was so mean. I'm sorry. It's hashtag horrible people upcoming podcast in the future. Material here. But you know what I would say actually for people from Germany, that there is a lot of diversity in Poland in the sense that Poland become very popular when it comes for technology, for outsourcing. So there is like, you know, so many companies there. Yeah, there is so many tech companies. There is so many, you know, great engineers. And there is like, there is a diversity when it comes for the different, you know, businesses, different industry. You know, you go to Krakow and you are just blown away with the number of different companies and industries that you can work with. Yeah, so if you want to experience that, that's just a wonderful, you know, place to be. And actually, there's the language is not the barrier, because actually, like in Poland, I think like for some weird reason, and I hope it's not going to sound too bad, but sometimes hiring a foreigner is like, wow. Yeah, he's like a German person. He knows, you know, then he knows the German language and he knows English. And, you know, it's a huge value because there's like so many international companies there as well. So I don't want to say like we judge better people from abroad, but definitely what I've seen when it comes for the hiring, it was always like the additional benefit because of the language and because of the international company setup that was there.
You hear that, German? From one Auslander to another, you should go to Poland.
Yeah. Yes. So, and as far as I've seen, when I worked, for example, with Germany and Switzerland, and the clients were coming to Poland, you know, to visit us, to work with us, they always enjoyed it. It was like a like really, you know, nice experience for them. It was a little bit different because I still think that they're work ethic or their culture, it's even like more closed ones. That was just my feeling than Polish, and they were sometimes, you know, blown away because we are still pretty direct. And you know, you go for like I will just say one story. And the clients from States, and then on Wednesday they decided, oh, it was a great workshop, but it was online. We fly to Poland on Friday to do it in person. Yeah, so they just, you know, flew to Poland, and then we had the workshop, and then they said, okay, we want to experience for the evening because we fly back to States on Saturday. So in the morning at 5 a.m. we have a flight. So let's experience Poland. So I took them for dinner and then for vodka tasting, and they were like, you know, blown away. They said it was like the best business trip they ever had. They would never thought that, you know, you can from the workshop and, you know, get into this, and the business relationship was, you know, great, served for.
And you're like, that's just a Tuesday.
Yes, it was a regular Tuesday. Yeah. No, but it was really funny.
That's awesome.
Oh wow, yeah, that was some amazing stories, and it was so good to catch up with a fellow Polish person. Thank you so much.
Joe, we really appreciate you taking the time. What, how would you say goodbye, everyone, in Polish? You both can say it.
Okay. Do widzenia.
Do widzenia.
Let's say, do widzenia.
Let's say it together. 3, 2, 1.
Do widzenia.
Okay. Do widzenia.
No, 3, 2, 1. That's a self-organization. Okay. So 3, 2, 1, and then do widzenia. 3, 2, 1. Do widzenia.
Do widzenia. Woohoo.
Perfect. Let's say it was like the internet delay. Yeah.
Bye, thank everyone. You. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.